My name is Garland Robinson. Do you know there are rewards for those who are Christians? Those who live a faithful, godly life, the Bible says there are rewards for them. That is not only in the life to come, but that is in this world as well. You know, there's no reason to ask someone that has never really been a Christian about the rewards of being a Christian. You know, how foolish it is to listen to them, regardless of how wise they may appear to be in this world's matters. True Christians are the ones who are best qualified to speak of the advantages of Christian living. Have you ever known someone who was a dedicated disciple of Jesus Christ who regretted the life they lived? Can you imagine them at the end of life's way and say, "I'm sorry I ever obeyed the gospel. I regret becoming a Christian. I regret living a Christian life." Friend, you'll never find that. For those who are faithful, those who are dedicated to the Lord, will never say such a thing. But on the other hand, we hear of those who live lives of grief and heartache because of their sin. They will regret never obeying the gospel or regret having done so and then going back into the world. Numbers 32, verse 23 says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." You know how often such people have cried for opportunities and a chance to erase their shame and ungodliness they've lived in their life. For example, let's ask Stephen. What did Stephen say when the mob had beaten the life out of his body but could not beat the goodwill and faithful living out of his heart? The Bible records in Acts chapter 7 in verse 60 that Stephen said, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." The verse just prior to that, verse 59, in his last dying breath, he uttered the words, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So we ask him, Stephen, was it worth the price? Was the reward really that great? And certainly his answer is, yes, indeed, 1,000,000,000 times over, the Christian life is worth it. Even though his life was cut short, untimely as we would think of it in this world, yet he was able to be with the Lord Jesus and never regret a moment of living for him. Surely the Apostle Paul could tell us about the qualities of a Christian life, the great rewards that came as a result of it. All through his life, we find that it was one of labor, suffering, persecution, slander, beatings, imprisonment, stoning, even sometimes hunger and want. No doubt he could have lived a very prosperous life considering his education, his acquaintances, the fact he had Roman citizenship. But yet we read in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." What was his attitude about it? He said he was happy to pay the price because the rewards of serving the Lord were so great. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, he wrote, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Friend, whatever we suffer in this world, he said, it is a light affliction. It is only for a short time in comparison to eternity, and that it will soon be over, and what a eternal and exceeding thing that we'll be able to enjoy in heaven above. He was able to see beyond the executioner's axe. He was able to see the joys and rewards of heaven. For nearing the end of his life in this world, he said, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The Apostle Paul could testify to the fact there were many great rewards for living the Christian life. Think of all the godly men and women whose lives have influenced others to live a life for the Savior. Think, on the other hand, of all the ungodly men and women whose lives have torn down every good thing, whose influence will live on to destroy the home and the family, to destroy your Christian life or the lives of your sons or your daughters. Certainly we do not want to follow them, but follow the way that leads to everlasting life. Friend, there are rewards for the faithful because the Christian life offers us a way of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ our Savior. Think of all the altars and all the shrines that men have erected through the ages. What were they doing? They were longing to be able to satisfy that feeling down deep within man's soul, the need for forgiveness, even though they have done so without the sanction of God because they've sought their own way. They felt as though they needed forgiveness. They desired it. People recognized that need. It would be sad indeed if people didn't feel guilty. Oh, how terrible when somebody feels like they've done no wrong. They don't need forgiveness. Because the Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 10, for there is none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's not only death in this world, but that is eternal separation, eternal death from God in heaven above. People feel the need for forgiveness, and that's a good thing, because there is relief for our guilt. There is forgiveness of our shame, and it's through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice that He made on the cross and the blood that He shed there, that was for the forgiveness of our sins. That doesn't come about by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, Titus 3 and verse 5. No matter how heavy the burden of sin may be, it can be forgiven. But the key is to repent and obey the gospel. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what's the key, though? If we confess our sins. And this is written to those who are already Christians. Nowhere is it written about those who are alien sinners or those who have never obeyed the gospel, those who are not Christians. It's not written about them confessing their sins. They are to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repent of their sins, and be baptized. But for the Christian, we must live a life of confessing our sins and humbling ourselves before God. Think of those 3,000 on Pentecost who had committed the most vicious crime in all of history, yet they were able to obey, repent, and be baptized. They were able to be forgiven. Think of the terrible life of persecution brought upon the church by the Apostle Paul before he obeyed the gospel. Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, he said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Yet he found out he was wrong. But when he learned he was wrong, he repented of it and turned to obey the gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 15, he said that he was the chiefest of sinners, but yet God was able to save him because he turned from it that he might have forgiveness. It's through the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. What a reward! What a great reward that is to know that we can have forgiveness. We read in Revelation 1 and verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Friend, are you interested in learning more about that? You interested in turning from the old way of life that you might have forgiveness and thereby prepare yourself to be rewarded? What a wonderful life that would be if you would do that. When Jesus died, we read about it in Matthew 26 and verse 28 when he said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So we have a great reward of forgiveness if we'll only obey the gospel, and then we can receive the benefits of Christ's sacrifice, the blood that he shed, that would be for the forgiveness of our sins. Friends, there are rewards for the faithful because God has promised it. That's the way the Bible reads. God is unwilling that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16. But simply because God extends the offer of salvation and pleads for men to consider him and obey it, doesn't mean they'll be saved. The individual themselves, the sinner, is the one that must turn to him in humble obedience. That is done if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must confess that, be willing to do so before men, that he would confess us before the Father which is in heaven. We are to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. But that's only good, though, if we repent. We have to change our mind concerning sin and wickedness and error. We have to change our attitude, have to change our mind about the old way of life. Turn from that. Then when we do so, that's when we confess faith in the Lord. And we're able to be baptized, immersed into water for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what Jesus tells Nicodemus, "You must be born again." We read in Romans 6 and verse 18, "Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness." Oh, what a reward that is. To know that we can have forgiveness of sins, our past can be washed away, that we'll not be held responsible, that it can be made clean as though we've never committed wrong in our whole life. Oh, what a grand, grand reward that is. If we'll only hang on, if we'll only obey the gospel, if we'll live faithful unto the Lord, we can be forgiven and we can receive that beautiful crown of life which Paul said was not for him only, but for them also that love his appearing. Friend, my name is Garland Robinson. Hope that you'll join us again next time.